Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I had a quick little back and forth during the break with a listener. He goes, WTF is you, with you and Sam Darnold. Dude is straight. And he sent an emoji. And I said, well, the quarterbacks we have aren't good. He's at least a conversation. Where he writes, I get it. I just think Kirk Cousins' name provides better credibility over a guy who sees ghosts. And then it hit me. Am I going to get in some nasty back and forth with a listener, and then in 3 or 4 years or whenever, look back and go, can you believe I got into it with a listener over Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold? How embarrassing. That's where this has led us to. It's not just 3 and 14. It's that we make enemies out of strangers we've never met over guys like Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. I can't allow it to happen. I can't allow it to happen. I got to turn off the social media during this stuff. I don't want to be the guy who gets in a knockdown drag out on the internet with listeners. Find people who have given us a moment of their time in the morning over Sam Darnold or Kirk Cousins. Lord Almighty.
Well, it's what every team in the league has to do in between when they want to go for gold and pounce in the draft. And there's so many considerations that you know, really upset the apple cart here. I mean, it's really interesting how, like, the Steelers have, hey, every year, double-digit wins or above 500 every single year, but no chance to win in the playoffs because their quarterback is just simply not good enough. And then the defense that plays great all year has to try to keep up and can't and has to take chances, and all of a sudden they're losing double-digit points in these playoff games. So eventually, like, the Steelers have got to just either tank or trade up to get a quarterback and get crazy. Well, they've been unwilling to do either. So they're stuck in this situation where they're going to be good every year. We're going to be frustrated as Browns fans because another season, we're behind the Steelers. But in the end, they have not had the guts to do what needs to be done. We've had the guts to tank it out for a quarterback, and we had some success. But now that's over, and now...
Oddly enough, I would say technically more success than the Steelers because we've won a playoff game.
One playoff game, right. So... It is, but our fans don't really feel any, like, we're higher on life right now than the Steeler fans. We're all kind of in the same spot, you know, when all is said and done.
The only thing I got was Schadenfreude over the weekend. That was it.
Yeah, so right now we are in position. We're at number two. If you go and get Kirk Cousins and it's a decent year, maybe we win 7 games. Maybe we win 8 games. Maybe we win 9 games. We could also win 3 games
again.
That's
not good enough.
Well, then we got to decide to trade up next year and use all the assets we have to trade up into that draft, right? So there's no, anybody that calls up and said, it's easy, do this. There is no easy now. Well, we are talking about the lesser of evils in all these situations and strategies.
Our question is, if you don't want a quarterback at two, then how are you going to get a quarterback? And I'm going to ask the people here on the phones here in just a second. I don't want to water it down too much, but, like, what is a successful season that keeps everybody here for a Browns fan? Not for Jimmy Haslam, not for the ownership. For you, what do you think is a successful season that keeps everybody here for 2026?
Man, I don't know, because I see how we react to a rare win. I mean, that Pittsburgh win last year, the Baltimore win last year, that kept fans on board for until the final, you know, just wasn't enough at the end of the year when it was pretty clear we were tanking. It doesn't take a lot to keep Browns fans invested. It really doesn't. I think that does separate us from some other fan bases. You always ask me, how are we unique? It doesn't take much. I mean, victory fridges sometimes, that sustains an entire year.
Fair. It's a moving target. So let me ask you this. As of January, what's the amount of wins? Is it playoffs? Because if it's playoffs...
Well, what do you mean by that?
Setting ourselves up for a nasty purgatory.
Yeah, I mean, odds are against us making the playoffs next year.
Okay, so we're setting ourselves up for purgatory then. Because I don't want to upset. See, I'm in the spot. I don't want the fans to be upset. So I don't want Myles Garrett to be let go. There's got to be, or traded. There's got to be some goodwill with the fans this coming year. I also know that he is a depreciating asset. And so when I laid it out, I go, okay, the best idea for fans is something no one wants to hear. You go and get whatever vet. You go and deal with this coming season. You probably trade Miles, which he would probably be amenable to halfway through the year, get a first-round pick. And then, all right, we'll see how far we can get in the 2025 season. But the 2026 draft, which is no guarantee for the love of God, but the 2026 draft is the year where, okay, we can make our trades up and go for the gusto and get our guy, even though we'll be fighting for another team for a generational quarterback, quote-unquote. We might be doing that. Like, nothing's ever perfect, but it's the most idealistic thing. Oh, by the way, we will get rid of the regime and bring in new people by then, because that is something you just can't keep.
That's a tiny little detail there that we kind of glossed over.
Yeah. So nothing's perfect right now. We're in a really tight spot. We have veterans. This is an 8-year build in the making. We don't want to get rid of these guys. We want to do right by them as best we can. And so that puts us in a tough spot. That puts us in a real tough spot with any one of the quarterbacks, whether they're drafted or not. Let's go to the phones. Mike on the road, on the road. He's next up on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, morning, guys. Been morning. A while.
Yep. Go right on ahead, my friend.
Hey, guys. I'm not against taking a quarterback in the first round, but I do not want Cam Ward or Sanders. And here's why, okay? You got Kevin Stefanski as the coach, okay? And nothing's going to change with that. His style quarterbacks are drop back passers. That's who he wins with. When he has to have a traditional playmaker at quarterback, he doesn't win. If you look at the quarterbacks he's had and going back to Minnesota, it was Kirk Cousins, it was Brett Favre, kind of. It was Baker Mayfield and it was Joe Flacco.
Well, Mike, let me try to sell you something here. Shador as a quarterback at number 2 overall, like it might be too high, and you might just not like his name or whatever. He is more he doesn't go under center, but he's a guy who stands in the pocket more, sometimes too long. But those are the only guys. And Mike, thank you for the call. Those are the only two guys that I can think of in the first round of the draft, unless people want to trade back in and go after Jalen Milroe, who might be Jalen Hurts in 2026, but I would say it's too early in 2025. Would you not? That's what I would say. Back to the phones, Peter in Perrysburg. Peter, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. Soon to be Peter in Eastlake.
He's moving, and he's moving closer, Tone. He's getting away from Jerry Glanville and coming closer to Tone and myself. Go ahead, Peter.
We're coming home, gentlemen. Yeah, now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am in 1,000% agreement with Daryl Ryder. I think the contention window is closed.
Good, you're both afraid.
But it's not because of Stefanski's the only one that's proved he can do his job. He took last year, the 2023 team that was glued together and scotch taped together, and took them to the playoffs. He can do his job. And even if the Browns are terrible next year, I think he should keep his job. I don't understand what Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta are doing with jobs. Okay. Andrew Berry, the only thing he knows how to do is kick the can down the road on gigantic contracts.
Well,
and Paul DePodesta already stripped this thing to the studs, put in all these BS guardrails that he said we need to follow to rebuild and not find ourselves in the same situation of 2016 and 2017. And then he completely destroyed them, wanting to go with the Watson deal. So I'm not hesitant because of past GMs and past failures of drafting. I'm hesitant because of current failures of the GM and current failures of the chief strategy officer. That's my biggest concern. But then again, I'd be a hypocrite because if they do trade down, it's probably the wrong thing to do, and you were probably right.
Well, Peter, I'll tell you this, and thank you very much for the call. We hope that the move goes smooth even during this terrible weather. I like Kevin. I like Andrew, for that matter. I don't know if their systems are going – I wonder if they're put together and they like, oh, we're hand in hand, we're thought partners together. Are your ideas of the quarterback position so different from each other? Like, Andrew, I do think, is moving forward. Let me give him this credit. I think Andrew's moving forward with what the quarterback is going to be from now on. Drop back, stoic
passers.
Yeah, they're
all going to be mobile.
That's not the future of the position. Again, there's guys who are – there are kids in Pee Wee who will go to the NFL – in the next 15 years, they will never take a snap under center.
Yeah. So Goff,
as we see it right now.
Goff and Stafford are a dying breed.
Yes.
Right? Now, it doesn't mean you can't have success. Stafford just won the Super Bowl a few years ago. But you got to be special. And Stafford's always had special arm talent, right?
And Andrew knows that. But is Kevin willing to change with that? Is he willing to change with that? This has got to be the year. That's why it's like, hey, man, like if you're going to take a guy, I can't be sitting there just drafting a guy for Kevin's system. Because if I'm drafting a guy for Kevin's system, who's that guy? In 2007, if we're talking about under center, bootleg, play action, quarterbacks, 2012, when Jameis came out, that's about it. A lot of these guys, they're going to scoot out there. They're going to drop back a little bit from the gun, step up in the pocket, roll left, roll right, extend plays. And if Kevin can't do that, then Kevin is the problem here. Going back to the phones, Brett and Aurora, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Brett.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about history for a minute. History, look at the best quarterback who ever played, Tom Brady. Where was he drafted?
He was drafted in the sixth round at 199 overall. Right? 199?
So, okay. So if history's taught us anything, the Cleveland Browns should not draft a quarterback in the top 10, period.
Because of Tom Brady?
Not because of Tom Brady. But every time the Cleveland Browns draft a quarterback in the first 10 picks, they fail.
Where was Colt McCoy? Johnny Manziel was not drafted in the first 10. He was drafted
22nd. Brady Quinn. Where did they get
Colt McCoy
from? So we're just not allowed to draft a quarterback ever.
Just not allowed to draft quarterback then, Brett.
We can only do supplemental draft going forward.
There's other positions.
The one that worked.
You've got to take the best player on the board, the best athlete. End of story.
No, you don't.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do at quarterback, Brett? What are you going to do at quarterback? We can't play with 10.
We're going to find him in free agency, or we're going to trade.
Who's the guy?
That's what I can't tell you who that guy is.
Brett, you got to figure a guy out and call me back. You got to figure a guy out.
You can't.
Yes, you can.
For a year.
Yes, you can. You got to figure a guy out. Brett,
Joe Flacco.
Got to set some rules.
Yeah, go ahead.
We need to set some rules.
Go ahead.
If you're going to, yes, we all understand that they need a quarterback and. No, that guy is not available today. But we need, if you're going to call in about the quarterback, have a guy.
He
said Joe Flacco, who's 2 years removed from his magical run.
I brought up that they brought in Joe Flacco.
I'm sure Brett's mad right now that he got the sweet chin music. Brett, I will answer your call again. Have a guy. Just have a guy. I'm more than welcoming. We got 4 months.
And by the way,
have a guy.
And you have to have a response to the obvious response that we're going to have about every guy, because every guy you're going to mention is flawed. Just like you think these draft picks are flawed.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to be flawed because it's not Trevor Lawrence, who, as we found out, is still flawed, even after he wasn't flawed.
Yes.
So understand there's going to be, imagine you're getting ready for debate prep and you know what's going to be said. You know that somebody's going to say, oh, Sam Darnold, well, I just saw the last two games. Boom. What's your response? Like, know that we're going to have Kirk Cousins. Well, he just had the worst year he's ever had. What's your response? Just understand that there's going to be a give and take here. A back and forth.
You got to have a name. I can't just say don't draft a guy and we'll get somebody in free agency. Let's try names.
Also, please don't call in and go, Tom Brady was taken in what round?
Brad, on the Free Odyssey app in San Diego, California. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, good morning. So we all know that the NFL is a copycat league. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we saw this year was three quarterbacks come in that had a ton of college experience that were not necessarily high profile, but had a ton of experience. You're Jaden Daniels, you're Bo Nix, and to a smaller sample size, Michael Penix. All of them had a ton of experience. I want to hear what you guys think about Will Howard. He has a ton of experience. He's big. He's got some mobility, but he throws from the pocket very well. He's got a personality that I think would fit wonderful in Cleveland. He played in all cold weather. And I think that you would be able to sell the Browns fans on a Buckeye quarterback, especially if he turns around and wins a natty on Monday, to a guy, and he wouldn't cost you the second overall pick. You can get him on day two and be able to do that.
I want
to hear what
Brett,
you guys think, what maybe Aaron Wilson thinks. I love this guy.
Brad,
I think that he's a culture builder. Yes, sir.
Let me tell you this. If you get Will Howard or you get any of those other guys day two, you got to get yourself a veteran starter to start the season.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to dump on Will Howard. I don't want to dump on Will Howard. I think that one of the knocks that people are going to say to him, look at all these wide receivers he could take advantage of. Jeremiah Smith had 3 yards. They did everything they could to take it away from him. And what did Will Howard do? Threw the team on his back and willed him to victory. And they're going to try to do that coming up on Monday. So if Notre Dame does the same thing, if they all of a sudden make Jeremiah Smith a ghost, and Brad, I got to let you go because we're up against it. If they go ahead and they make Jeremiah Smith a ghost, you can't use that argument. So and if just, Will Howard does it again, like he's in the conversation for toughness and experience and like, hey, let's give this kid a chance.
The reason that a guy that's built like that, that has that size, that is now this successful, his arm stinks. So you got to understand that. His arm does stink. And at an NFL level. I'm just talking NFL. He's been awesome on this 3-game run.
I am in the middle of making a prospective future Browns quarterback list. And for Will Howard, I will put down pros and cons.
What about his arm stinks?
So just think about this way. All those passes that just barely got through against these college players – last game against Texas, where you're like, how did he put that? No chance. Those just have no chance at the next level.
But if
so, just so you know, just so you understand what scouts say about him.
Of course,
his arm. The reason, if he had the arm of some of the other guys that we talk about in the draft in the first round, we'd be talking about him number one overall.
But you're right. But you're a reasonable person, and Brad in San Diego saying, hey, day two, which means like third round day three. Okay.
That's where he's always been slated to go.
Yeah, let's have that conversation. If Brad in San Diego would have said number two overall, well, yeah, but he wouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. What about the arm, real quick? Is it the accuracy? Is it timing? Is it his velocity?
Really, his accuracy has been pretty good this year. It's been more just the pushing the ball down the field and being able to make the NFL throws on the hashes, on the sidelines. Like that is stuff that there have been question marks about, and he's played a lot of college football. It's not like, hey, maybe he can get better at some of this. Like we kind of know when someone has. That's the flip side to, hey, these guys have played a lot of games. It's also, what is his ceiling? Can his ceiling really get that much better when his arm is at this level?